I'm going to read to you the last few verses of chapter 2. I'm going to read to you the last two verses of that chapter as we finished that last Sunday. We need to read that so we can get over into the beginning of chapter 3, because it's a kind of continuation of what he said in chapter 2. But let's read beginning with verse 14. For he himself, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is our peace. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Isn't that what the Bible says? Sometimes in the midst of difficulties and trials of life, we have the peace of God, and we thank God for that, because he's the only one that can give us peace in the midst of trials and problems and situations and circumstances. He himself is our peace and our bond of unity. He's the one that brings us together, not only with each other. How many of you know we're all, when we become being born again by the Spirit of God, we're his family. We're at one with the Spirit with him, and we're also, to those of us who are in his family, wherever in the world they may be, we're also one with them, because there's only one body and one Lord and one faith and one baptism. Amen? So we're in a bond of unity, and it's our responsibility to help maintain that unity. Sometimes we get out of sorts, right? Even husbands and wives and family situations, we get out of sorts and kind of get upset with each other and find some things that we don't like, and we express our opinions, right? Well, let's try not to do that with our church family. Amen. Let's maintain the unity, because when the unity is broken, there's not the unity of the Spirit there. And just as husbands and wives need to be together, and it begins with the husbands. Can some of you ladies say amen? I don't want to get you in trouble. It begins with the Lord. Amen. The husband's the head. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And we have to maintain that unity. It's up to us to maintain that unity with him. He who made both groups, that is both Jews and Gentiles, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible in case you want to know, he's made both Jews and Gentiles into one body and broke down the barrier, amen, between Jews and Gentiles, and actually all of us. He's broke down the dividing wall. Verse 15, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the hostility caused by the law with its commandments contained in the ordinances which he satisfies. So one of the works of the law is, and the law being the Ten Commandments and everything that's contained in that law, is to show us, first of all and foremost, that we have sinned, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it's to also show us, because under the provisions of the law, when they had broken it, the Lord made provisions with Moses and the children of Israel, because that's where it began. He made provisions that if anyone had sinned, they could offer a sacrifice of blood, which that blood that was to be offered, if you remember reading in Genesis when they came out of Egypt, and Exodus when they came out of Egypt, how that they took a lamb and a young goat and killed that and took the blood in a pan and dipped it with hyssop, and then struck it over the top of the door and on each side of the door, which resembles a cross. So from the very beginning, God had plans, and he's going to show us this here in a minute. I'm telling you now before we get there, is that God had made plans from the very beginning that he was going to give his son, and his son was going to come and live a perfect life and die as a sacrifice for us and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and dismiss his spirit. They didn't kill him. He dismissed his spirit. And he went into the grave, and 3 days later he was resurrected, and he did that for us so that can happen to us if we'll put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith and trust is not in the church, it's not in a religion, it's not in the denomination, or it's not in the law, or any of the things that we can do. Our faith and trust, in order for us to be saved and to know God and be a part of His family, is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name, the Bible says, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So He's made both of us, Jews and Gentiles, into one body, and He's broken down the barrier and the dividing wall, and He's also abolished through His crucifixion, verse 15 of chapter 2, the hostility caused by the law, which made us understand, the law made us understand through His commandments and ordinances. So He satisfied those Himself, that He Himself might make the two, Jews and Gentiles, into one new man, thereby establishing peace. Verse 16, and that He might reconcile them both, Jews and Gentiles, united in one body to God through the cross, thereby putting death to the hostility. Amen? We're no longer, and God is no longer hostile to us if we're born again by the Spirit of God, and we're no longer hostile to Him. As a matter of fact, we are His children, been born into His family, and when we come before His throne of grace, we're coming before our Heavenly Father. And He wants to hear from us. And He also wants to speak to us, and does speak to us through preachers, teachers, and through Bible readings, and through the Word of God, and through circumstances and situations in our lives. He will talk to us and speak to us, and we need to learn to be able to hear and understand His voice. That was one of the first things that He showed me when I was 19 and surrendered to Him and gave my life and answer to His call, was that I could hear His voice. He could speak to me, not audibly, but in my spirit. And I could, if I was listening and paying attention, and if I'd drawn close to Him, you can't hear somebody that's far off. You ever talk to your husband while he's all out in the yard? Or your wife? And you're out in the yard? You might as well forget it. Sometimes you can't even talk to him face to face. Amen. They don't want to hear us. Anyway, that's life. So, He's reconciled both of us and established that peace. I forget which verse I was on. Through the cross, He put death to the hostility. Verse 17 of chapter 2. And He came, Jesus came, God sent His Son, and He preached the good news. And the good news was you can have peace with God, the peace of God. Those of us who were far away, because if you don't have peace with God, and if you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confessed Him as Lord and Savior, we don't have peace with God. You can forget it. But when you come to Him, and it's just that simple, you come to Him and say, Lord, I believe you're, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus. He died for me. I believe in Him. Then at that moment, God places us in the body of Christ. We're born again. And those of us who were far away, verse 17, are now made close. And we have the peace, and it's peace to those, all of us who were near, Jews and Gentiles. Verse 18, for it is through Him that we both have a way, a direct way of approach, in one Spirit, or through one Spirit, to the Father. Same Spirit. So then, you, everybody say me, if you're a Christian, no, you're no longer a stranger or aliens, outsiders without right, with the rights of citizenship, but you are, I'm going to add this now, right now. You don't have to wait for this to happen. That happens when you've been born again by the Spirit of God. We brought into the presence of God, and God becomes our Heavenly Father, and we become His children. Amen. So there, we're no longer strangers and aliens and outside of him, but we're fellow citizens with the saints, verse 19, who are members of God's household. Now be careful, I'm going to ask you a question. How many saints do we have here this morning? I'm not asking you how you feel. I'm not asking you how you live. I'm asking you who you are in Christ. And we're all saints in Christ. The Bible just told us so. And it says that in many other places. Amen. And when we accept that, we're going to have a much better relationship with our Lord and our Heavenly Father. And we're also going to have a much better relationship with one another, because we're not trying to prove something and make ourselves out to be anything, because we already know, as Paul's going to tell us here in a little bit, and when we get to chapter 3, we already know that we're nothing and nobody anyway. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the only thing that's good about us is we've been born again by the Spirit of God, and now we're one of God's children. Amen. Okay, so now we're no longer strangers and aliens. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, we're built on a good, sound foundation. Look here, Christ Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Every building has a main chief cornerstone, or it did then, and everything else from that point on was built up. So the apostles and the prophets and all of those that have gone before us, we're built on them. We're all one body. You mean, Brother Lewis, even those who are dead? Well, they're only dead as far as the flesh is concerned. They're still with God. Amen. As far as the Spirit is concerned. We're all alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. Even those who are physically gone. For the body without the Spirit is dead. His body's not anything. It's just a place. It's just a suit that we live in while we're here on this earth, so people recognize us. If we were all spirits floating around, nobody would be able to see us. Are you with me? So when we take off these clothes, we're naked. When we take off this body, we're naked. Well, but we're spirits. It means we can't be seen. Only in the spiritual realm. That's how we need to look at each other anyway. If they're Christians and brothers and sisters in the Lord, no matter what they look like or how they appear in the flesh, they're one of our brothers and sisters, and we're in the same body. We're in the same spirit, not in the same body. Amen. But we're in the body of Christ. Okay, verse 21, I think was where I am. In whom the whole structure is joined together, and it continues to increase. How many of you know every time somebody's saved, they're added to the body of Christ? How many of you know as long as we grow spiritually, we're continuing to increase in our love and our knowledge. Grow in the grace. The Bible says for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're still growing. Even when you get to my age, we're still growing. Amen. Amen. In Him and in fellowship with one another, you also are builded together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now let's go to chapter 3. So when he says, for this reason, now you understand, he's talking about we're all one in the body of Christ. He's saying, for this reason, he said, I'm preaching to you and all of the believing Jews and joint heirs. I'm preaching to all the whole body of Christ, Jews and Gentiles and everybody who's been saved. And the gospel even comes to the lost, because without the gospel, hearing the gospel and believing the gospel and being a recipient of the gospel, we cannot be saved. Amen? For this reason, because he preaches the truth, I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ on behalf of you Gentiles. Paul became a prisoner of Jesus Christ, not because God made him a prisoner, because he said, I give up, Lord, here I am, you can have me, and I belong to you. So, amen. We need to do the same thing, and in order to enjoy the fullness of his presence. Assuming, verse 2, that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which is the gospel, the good news. We've heard that he was entrusted to me. He has entrusted Paul, saying, this good news, this gospel to me, to share with you for your benefit. Each and every one of us have the opportunity and the responsibility to be able to share the good news, that what God has done for us in our lives. Because as God does things in our lives, not just that he saved us and we're born again by the Spirit of God, but also God does good things for us. Has God done a lot of good things for you? How about this week? Did he do anything for you? Amen. And when we share that, that's why we like to have testimony services from time to time, when somebody can stand up and share and say, well, God did this. And Paul was saying, if God did this for me, and we can say the same thing, if God did this for me and I'm no different than any of you, we're all the same in a physical body, but we are all the children of God. If God did this for me, he'll do the same for you, because he's no respecter of persons. Amen? I hope you're getting this, because this is tremendously important, and it'll help you through your day-to-day life. It'll help you on your job. It'll help you with your relationship with your boss and whatever else. This is where our health and our strength is. If soon that we've heard of this grace of God, and that, verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 3, this is something else new that we need to learn, and that by divine revelation, the mystery. Everybody say mystery. Now, I have a teaching I'm going to do one of these days again, I guess, on mystery and mysteries. The Bible, this Bible is full of mysteries and mysteries. Mystery and mysteries. And they're hidden only because God can only reveal some of these things to us as we grow older. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again just as a reminder. You don't take a child in the first grade that's learning 2 plus 2 equals 4 and go over and get into geometry and trigonometry and algebra. Are you with me? So when we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as Christians, and we come to know him, we're getting acquainted with him, and I'm learning more about the Lord. I know a lot about the Lord right now, but 60 years with him, I've learned a whole lot more than I did when I first learned. Are you with me? And so that's why we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn so that he can reveal some of these things to us, because they're only mysteries to those who do not understand. And to whom God doesn't want them to understand until they get to a certain point. So he says in verse 3, in that divine revelation, his mystery was made known to me, as I have already written in brief. By referring to this, when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So there's a mystery of Christ. There's some divine mysteries. And I don't know about you, but everybody, well, most everybody I know really likes a mystery. Yeah. Who did it? What happened? And sometimes as we're going through it, it gets more exciting, and we want to see what the end of it is. Who was it? Amen. And so the Bible is full of mysteries, and the Lord wants us to understand them, and he will reveal. And I want you to know that the understanding, we can read the Bible, and I've had a lot of people, in fact, even myself, when I first started reading it, I said, wow, there's things in here I just completely don't understand. And I was just a newborn baby reading and trying. I did understand, and this is what the Lord told me, if I remember correctly, You just only need to understand what you understand right now, and you need to act upon that. And then when you act upon that, as you grow, you're going to understand more. And I understand a whole lot more today than I did back then a long time ago. And God wants us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And growth comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This is the bread. Jesus said, this Word, this book is the bread of life. His Word. And so if you want to grow in grace and you want to understand more about the Lord and get to know about it more about His love and what He's doing for you and what He wants to do for you, because a lot of things He wants to do for us, He can't do because we don't know how to cooperate with the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you with me? And I'm not fussing, griping, or complaining. I'm just getting excited about a point. Because there's things He'll say, if you do this, if you do that. Sometimes He says, don't do that. And I've learned, and sometimes through the school of hard knocks, financially, for example, one of the first big lessons I learned in life, was I wanted to do this because I wanted to be in the ministry full time, and I thought that's what God wanted me to do. And I talked it over with my wife, and she said, well, Lewis, I don't exactly agree with you, but, you know, you want to do whatever you think to do. So I did it. And I learned that God had given her to me as a helpmate. And sometimes she knew the Lord and knew some things better than I did. Are you with me? We're not the only smart alecks in the relationship. All right? And so the Lord communicates with us through the church, through pastors, through His Word, by the Holy Spirit. And He ministers sometimes because we don't have time to read the Word of God. We don't carry a Bible around with us. We can't look it up and see, even if we knew where to find it. Because He talks to us about circumstances, situations of life, and He wants us to understand and know that He can tell us what to do right now. Don't do that, or you do this, or don't turn here, turn there, whatever. He can talk to us about anything. He can say, be careful, watch out. Anybody ever had Him say that to you? Watch out, look out. Why does He do that? Because He loves you. Amen? And He wants the best for you, His best for you. Not what you think is the best for you, but what His best is. And His best is better than anything we could ever come up with. All right, where am I? And by divine revelation, so the mystery comes, the understanding of the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the mystery of Christ, which is our relationship with God through the Father, with the Father, through the Holy Spirit, all comes by His revelation. And so if we need to know something, Lord, we just have to ask Him, Lord, I need to know this. And I think I've shared this with you before. I was studying something. I can't remember what it was. This has been many years ago. And I was studying it and studying it, studying. I think I'd gotten up that morning real early, 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. I'd been studying. I'd got on the computer and got in the Word and been studying this particular subject, and I wanted to understand it and tried to understand it and kept on trying to understand it, and finally I'd been there about an hour and a half, or however long, it was a long time, and I got up away from my computer, and I was going into the walking from my office into the kitchen to get me a cup of coffee, and the Lord stopped me right in the middle of the doorway between the office and the dining room, and He said, Lewis, and I stopped dead still, and He said, I heard it as clear as day in my spirit, but it was so loud in my spirit I thought I heard it with my ears. Lewis, you're trying to understand things that are too wonderful for you. And I thought, wow. In other words, it's beyond your capability. You can't grasp it now, but there will come a time. And this is what I understood. There will come a time when You'll need to know this because you can share it with others, or for whatever reason you need to know it so you can live it. But you need to know this because it's something that you need to know that'll help you in your life and in your circumstances and in your situations. But right now you can't understand it, because if you go to Isaiah 53 or 54, somewhere over there in Isaiah, it says, here little and there little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Do you ever remember reading that? Line upon line, precept on precept. Go look it up. And it's the book of Isaiah, I think, 54. Sometimes they do that. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here little, there little. It's, you just go. And as we go, we learn. And if we're trying to understand something, I've had people go, become new Christians, and not very long, they just want to jump over in the book of Revelations and start trying to figure it all out. And they just say, I can't do it. And you're not going to be able to. Verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 3. Which in other generations, he's talking now about the mystery that had been made known to him, and the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not disclosed to mankind. They didn't know about it. As it has now been revealed, and who has it been revealed to? His holy apostles and prophets, again, by the Holy Spirit. It's divine revelation. Verse 6. And what the mystery was that he just told us about over in chapter 2, he's going to explain to us now what this mystery was. That the Gentiles are now joint heirs with the Jews and members of the same body. Amen. The Jews had the law. The Jews were God's chosen, whatever. Now, God has come, and through the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to make you all in one body, Jews and Gentiles. Amen? And now you're joint heirs. Amen? That means you got an inheritance, right? Hey, this earth is not our home. I'm just passing through. I'm looking for, and all of us that have been born again, we don't need to be laying up, as Jesus said, don't be laying up for treasures here on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself in treasures. For where your treasure is, there would your heart be also. And unfortunately, we can be distracted and we begin to think that it's the treasures that are here on this earth are more important than the ones that we're laying up in heaven. Are you with me? So this mystery that he's revealing here, that the Gentiles are now joint heirs with the Jews and members of the same body, and we're joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promises in Christ Jesus through our faith in the good news of salvation. Amen? The Jews get saved just like we get saved, and that's through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, chapter 3, of this gospel, he was born again. He's saying he was born again just like we were. Paul says in a couple of places, he said, and in one place I know for sure, he says, I was the chief of sinners. And he said that not to be bragging on how sinful he was. He was saying, if God saved me, I don't care who you are, you wasn't near as bad as I was. God can save you too. You with me? That's why he's saying this. In fact, he says here, verse 7 of the gospel, I was made a minister by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. So it's not our working to be saved. It's not that we don't work, because if we don't have works, we don't know the Lord. But the thing is, if you've heard me say over and over again, which is a tremendously important verse, I think it's in Philippians chapter 3 or 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, work out your own salvation. In other words, you can't work out something you don't have, right? So now you're saved. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. So now you start working on that. Amen? But he says, for it's God that worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. So we work out what he's worked in. And we can only work out what he works in as we allow him to work in us and cooperate with him so that he can work in us. Amen? Verse 8, to me, though, he says, I am the very least of all the saints. I'm the least of God's people. This grace, this goodness, this mercy that God has bestowed on me, which is undeserved. I didn't deserve it. As a matter of fact, if we go back and look at Paul's life, he was on the road to Damascus. He was imprisoning Christians because they were the enemies of the Jews and they were enemies of his belief and the Jewish faith. And he was imprisoning them. He was having them stoned and having them killed and having them imprisoned. And he was on his way to get to Damascus to get some more and have them stoned or killed or imprisoned or whatever. And that's when the Lord knocked him off of his horse or donkey or whatever, his feet, and laid him flat on his earth and face. And he said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? So when we persecute any Christian, brother or sister, we're persecuting the Lord himself. Hello? That's exactly what Paul said. And when Paul fell on his face, the other thing he said was, and I'll paraphrase it for you, who in the world are you, Lord? I realize that you're the Lord. I realize I don't know who you are, though. I know you're Lord, but I don't know you. That's the reason we don't need to just call Jesus Lord. We need to come to know him as our Lord and Savior and get acquainted with him and have an enjoy and a relationship with him in our daily lives. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity, you've heard me say over and over again, is not a religion. It's a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 8, chapter 3 of Ephesians, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's people, this grace, which is undeserved, was graciously given, was given to him, he's saying, to proclaim, so he could proclaim to the Gentiles. In other words, he could preach to the Gentiles. Paul was a Jew. The Gentiles were his enemies. So he's been sent to proclaim and to preach to his enemies the good news of the incomprehensible riches of Christ, which no one really fully can understand. It's incomprehensible. We're supposed to grow in the love and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know more now, even though, and I said this last Sunday, and I just want to say, I don't want to get into spiritual warfare right now, but I just want to tell you, when you become a Christian, it won't be long, because there's a time when we're in a childhood or babyhood and we're growing and we don't run into many problems, so to speak, at that point in time. But there is eventually a time as we begin to grow when we start having some issues. The enemy begins to attack us right here in our minds. You see where my finger is here in our minds. And the first thing he attacks us with, generally speaking, is, well, you think you're a Christian? He tries to get us to doubt our salvation. He tries to get us to doubt who we are in Christ. Because if he can do that, he's already won the battle. We're defeated. So we need to be sure. The Bible says, be diligent. Give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Amen? We have to do that. And that comes by, because even after we become Christians, sometimes the Bible tells us in Galatians, the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. Amen. I realize I said some of this before. Or you're going to hear it again. Because we do, sometimes we get in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, we're not in the spirit. Amen. When we get in the flesh, where we, God hasn't left us, but we're not walking in the spirit. And it's very difficult. And that's where the battle is for. He wants us to get in the flesh. He wants us to be more concerned about the things that are going on around us in the flesh and the things that are going on around us in the spiritual realm. And we don't realize that the attack and the thoughts that are coming. I had thoughts coming to my mind that I didn't put there. You ever had that? Or if I did put them there, I didn't want them there, and I was wanting to get rid of them. Amen? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that we're in spiritual warfare. So, he wanted to make plain this mystery. Where was it? Verse 9. To the believing Jews and the Gentiles, which until now that was kept hidden through the ages in the mind of God who created all things. But now, through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in all countless aspects might be made known, revealed, the mystery being revealed, to the angelic rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. They didn't even know. Verse 11, that this is in accordance with the terms of the eternal purpose which God, He, carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that's why Jesus came and God gave His Son. So He could make this happen in you and in me and anyone else that would put their trust in Him. Verse 12. In whom? Everybody say in whom. If you're a Christian, you're in Christ. You listening? If you're a Christian, you're in Christ. And if you're a Christian, Christ is in you. And you become one with Him. We become one in Christ. And you read that a lot. And anytime you see that, remember, you're in Christ as you read through the Word of God. So in Him. So when, listen, when I, let's say I get mad at my husband and cuss him out and take God's name in vain and all the other bad things and just hate him and want to slap him or kick him or whatever, or let's turn that around and say I'm a husband and I have a wife and I'm mad at her and I'm cussed her out and I take God's name in vain and I maybe slapped her around. Well, you don't need anybody to tell you if you're a Christian that that's not spiritual. That you've sinned. And actually, you've sinned badly because you've gone deliberately against the Word of God and the Spirit of God that is in us. Amen? So, He wants you to believe, the enemy wants us to believe that because we've done that, that there's no way we can get reconciliation. There's no way we can get forgiveness. Well, if you don't ask for it, if we don't ask for it, we won't get it. Although God stands ready to forgive. And I've heard people say this too. Well, I can go ahead and do this because God forgives me and He forgives me over and over and over and over and over again. Whatever it is we're doing that's sin, that I'm talking, I just use that as an illustration, that relationship between husband and wives, but it could be anything. What do we do that's wrong? Take God's name in vain or whatever. But God's Spirit, because He wants us to maintain that relationship and that fellowship with Him and come to know what He likes and what He doesn't like, His Spirit will bring us to the place where that was wrong and we need to repent. Amen? Repentance means we have a change of heart with a corresponding change of mind in that we don't want to do that anymore because it's offensive to God. and it breaks our fellowship. And when you're out of fellowship, and now if we say what I just said a while ago, well, God forgives me and I can continue to do that. He understands and He just keeps on forgiving me. One of these days, He's going to take you to the woodshed. And in the Bible, it's called chastisement. In our common language, it's called a whipping or a spanking or whatever term you want to use. How does that happen? Well, I don't even need to explain all the ways, but number one, we lose our peace with God. Number two, we don't feel like we're acceptable anymore with Him. Number three, we feel way out of place. In other words, we've done something wrong and we know it, because the Spirit of God in the Bible tells us not to grieve. Do not grieve in Ephesians chapter 3 or 4. I think maybe on further down here we'll read this. Do not grieve the Spirit of God whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. We don't want to grieve Him or quench Him. Our purpose in living as Christians is not a bunch of do's and don'ts in that sense. It's a bunch of rules and regulations. It's following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And when we learn that something offends Him and hurts Him, we don't want to do that. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit in us, and we don't want to quench Him either. And so that's how we're living, that's how we're walking, and that's how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to walk. And that's how we know what we're doing is right or wrong, because we have the witness of the Holy Spirit within us. But also we know in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and confidence and access through faith in Him, that is, our faith gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Christ. We can come, as the Bible said, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. But if we do it over and over and over again, thinking that's giving that, we're in trouble. Amen. Verse 13, we're about to finish. So, the reason he's writing this to you, and the reason and he wrote it to the church, and the reason I'm preaching this, and the reason I'm studying it and we're learning it is verse 13. So I ask you not to lose heart at my sufferings on your behalf, for they are your glory and honor. So he would also ask you not to lose heart because of your sufferings. Amen. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you've been a Christian very long, a true Christian, you're really following the Lord, you find out that not everything is just roses and good things. Now, God can turn them around and make good come out of them. Amen. But there's still a lot of things that happen in our lives that cause us to be fearful and cause us to worry. So he's wanting us to know that you don't lose heart through your sufferings. Paul was going through sufferings here. He was talking about sufferings. He was been put in prison for preaching the gospel. He was beaten many times for preaching the gospel and almost killed because he was sharing the good news. He wanted people to hear it. So don't lose heart at his sufferings or other people's sufferings, for your glory and honor. That's, in other words, it's the Lord's going to use some of those things to help make us stronger, and so we will glorify Him and honor Him more. Verse 14, for this reason, the reason being grasping the greatness of this plan by which Jews and Gentiles are joined together in Christ. We're all together in one body. I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15. From whom every family, whether we're Christians on the earth or Christians in heaven, in heaven and on earth, derives the name of Christian and from God, the ultimate Father. Verse 16, that He may grant you out of the riches of His glory. Now this is all happening for this purpose. To be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through the Spirit, through His Spirit in your inner self, so that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you may have been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. Amen. Praise God. May the love of God flow through us, you, me, we, us, as Christians, to both believers and unbelievers, that we might be filled with the fullness of God in believing and have a relationship with Him and a knowledge of Him, so that we can experience that peace of God in our life which passes all understanding. Amen. Let's everyone stand. We're going to be dismissed. If anybody needs to come to the altar for anything, you want to come join together with us in prayer as we close, you can come at this time. If God's asked you to come for any reason, just slip on out and come on down. And or you can pray right there where you are. We'll just join together. And let's agree together. The Bible says where two or more agree on earth, they're touching any one thing they'd ask. So if we're praying for ourselves, we're praying for the peace of God, for loved ones or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or whatever. We want to lift them before the throne of God's grace. We want to claim them for Him in Jesus' name. God, listen, it's not God's will for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's will. So when we're praying for somebody that's lost, we can claim them for Him. We can claim somebody that's a Christian that's going through trials and difficulties, and we can claim that God will be with them, strengthen them, encourage and help them through all of this. Amen? So, Father, as we come to the conclusion of this service right now, we just want to thank You, Father, for Your Word. We want to thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We want to thank You for the privilege and the honor that we have, Father, to come boldly before Your throne of grace. And we don't come in proud and arrogant and knowing that we can just ask and do whatever we want to do and say what in Your presence, Lord. We come reverently and fall. We bow. We recognize Your God, Your Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord and Savior. He's our Lord. And if it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't even have this wonderful opportunity to experience Your presence in our lives. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Father, help us not to grieve or to quench Him in any way, but to live lives. And then, Father, we also agree in Jesus' name, as we agree with others here, we're all lifting up names of people, friends and loved ones, moms and dads, brothers and sisters, and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews and those that are maybe not even our family that we're praying for. We claim them for You, Lord. You're not willing that any should perish, so we claim them for You in Jesus' name. And we're expecting, we look with great anticipation to the time that You change their life and they're born again into Your kingdom. And we want to thank You for it right now, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody said amen. God bless.